Let's go in our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus 33, and we'll be at verses 1 through 11 tonight in Exodus 33. The events in the life of Israel serve as examples for the Christian. Now, there certainly are distinctions between the church and Israel. We certainly know that. And there's certainly, the church is not merely a continuation of Israel, and we understand that as well. But the scriptures do tell us that the things which happened to them happened for an example. They happened so that we might learn from them. And we can learn both from those who did well and from those who did bad. We can learn from the good and we can learn from the less than good. We can gain examples from both of them. And so we want to look here at some of the things that were going on. Now, in the context, Exodus chapter 32, we have the children of Israel have come to the mountain. They have seen what God has done. They have seen God bring them out of Egypt, deliver them from through the Red Sea, bring them down to Mount Sinai, give them the covenant, form an agreement with them. And then as they waited for God to send Moses down from the mount with the covenant, they got scared. They got afraid. They decided that Moses was dead, and so they were without leadership, and so they decided to make themselves some gods. And they went to their own methodologies and decided that they would have to take care of things themselves. And so as they did that, they, of course, went into idolatry. They sinned. It was a grievous sin, and God was very upset with them. And so God sends Moses down, and Moses deals with them regarding this iniquity and this sin, and they turn from their sin, and they ask for forgiveness. And so what is it that they're to do? Well, you know, this book gives us an example. You see, as Christians, we know we don't always do the right thing. We know sometimes we do sin. Sometimes we sin grievously. What are we to do after such a situation? How are we to live after those kinds of things? What does God feel about our sin? What is God's attitude toward our sin? And how are we to live after our sin? What are we to do? Well, God tells us how to live. And I think this passage tonight is going to describe for us what is normal Christian living. So let's look here at how God would have us live the normal Christian life. He says in verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one that sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that the people rose up and as stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And so here we have laid out for us what ought to be normal Christian living. After there's been a sin, how do we act? Well, the Lord tells us, get going. He tells them to get moving. You need to, when sin comes into the life, don't let it defeat you. Don't just wallow in it. Don't just stay in that sin. Confess that sin. Say the same thing that God says about your sin. Get up and say, God, I have done wrong. I have sinned. I have committed iniquity. Lord, forgive me for that sin. And then forsake that sin. Turn your back upon it and say, no longer will I go that direction. I'm going to live different. And then follow God as the Lord directs. The Lord has directed us. He's guided us. He's told us how we're to live. He's given us instructions. And we are to live in that way. We're to get going. We're to go on with heavenly aid. You notice that God said he would send an angel before thee. I believe this angel is the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is that angel who is going to go with them, that he is going to march with them through the wilderness and will lead them and guide them. And so we, as God's people, do not have go on in our own strength. We are not left without help. We have the Spirit of God who dwells within us. We have Christ's very presence with us to go with us and to lead us and to move us and to guide us. And as a result, we can go on for God. So don't just sit there and say, well, I've sinned and I can't be used. No, get going for God. And then go and battle for the right, as it says there in verse 3. I will drive out, and he lists all these people, giving you the land. God expects us to fight for him, to battle for the Lord. Now, we're not conquering land today. We're not gaining property. That's not what we're doing. But what we are doing is trying to win people to the Savior. We're trying to win people to Christ. We have a responsibility to stand up against sin and iniquity and to stand for righteousness, to stand for people coming to the Lord Jesus and being saved. That's the great ministry that we have, is to reach out to a world in need and bring them to the Savior. People need to know that, and we need to battle on for the right and keep going for God, because we are going to a land that flows with milk and honey. The songs that we sang tonight fit perfectly with the message, how that we are on our way to heaven, that we are going there. This world is not our home. We have a heavenly home that we are going to, and we are moving onto that place where we're going. Just as they were going to a promised land, we have a promised land, and we are moving toward that promised place. And so, how are we to live? We're to get going. Don't just sit around after sin. Ask God to forgive you and get going for God. Start serving the Lord. But at the end of verse 3, there's another little saying there about it. They are a stiff-necked people. Now, being stiff-necked is not a good thing. What God is saying is, you're not what you should be. Well, what should they be? We ought to be compliant. And so just as the normal Christian ought to be going for God, so the normal Christian life means that we're going to be compliant. We're going to listen to what God wants us to do. God judges us in regard to the attitude of our heart and of our mind. God sees how we live and how we look at things and how we focus on things. Are we stiff-necked and hard-headed and say, Lord, I'll go, but I don't want to go? We're like the little boy, you know, who got punished and he was sitting in the chair and he said, well, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. Sometimes I think we Christians are like that. We're standing on the inside in rebellion. We need to be people who are compliant. God knows not what we do merely. He knows who we are. God sees the inside. He knows the heart. And so we need to be people who are compliant, who say, Lord, we want to do your will. You know, that's a wonderful thing, to come to that place in your spiritual life where you say, I want to do the will of God. I want to do God's will. You may not always accomplish it, and I understand that, but you want to. And so work on that. Work on your want to. The normal Christian life is a life of going for God. It is a life of compliance, a life that says, I obey what God does. I want to do right. I want to do the right. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. But then in verses 4-6, we see how that we are not only to get going and be compliant, but we are to demonstrate obedience. We're to demonstrate obedience. And when the people heard the evil tidings, they mourned. Now, the people were not very happy with what they heard. You know, sometimes the message that God sends to us is not an easy message. Sometimes when, you know, the preacher stands up there and he cries out against sin and he preaches against iniquity, when the Spirit of God takes his finger and pushes it down in our heart and presses upon us that conviction over the wickedness that's in our life, it's not very pleasant. We feel sad. We don't feel happy. There's not a joy of the Lord there because there's sin in the life. And sometimes the message is distressing. The heart's not always happy. But that's because the heart needs to change. And so we need to be those who demonstrate obedience. Here are the children of Israel. They didn't like the message that God gave them, but they were obeying what God told them. God had told them that they are a stiff-necked people and they were to take off all their jewelry. They were to get off all the rings and all the earrings and all the bracelets and the necklaces and the who knows what all they were wearing. I don't know, but whatever it was, they were to take all that stuff off. They weren't to dress like the culture dressed. They weren't to look like the culture. They were to look like the people of God. And we must be people who obey what the Lord tells us to do too. We must be people who live in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. Right now in our culture, it tells us to live a certain way. It tells us that, you know, marriage is not important. It's a terrible thing, but young people today just don't see the importance of marriage. They're still living together. They're still having relationships, but they're not getting married. And that's an awful sin. It's a sin that's wrong. It's a wrong attitude. It is permeating even in the church. Kids don't want to get married. It's a wicked thing. We need to get and obey the will of the Lord. We, as God's people, need to be different. We need to stand up and say, yes, we're going to do what's right. We're going to live right. We're going to act right. We're going to function right. We're going to do the right. And we need to be a people who stand against the iniquity of our culture and the wickedness that is there. Drunkenness and drug addiction ought to have no place in the heart of the Christian. We ought not be people who are caught up in all of these kinds of iniquities. And just because society says it's okay to do these things does not mean that we should. We need to be people who obey the will of the Lord. We need to be those who put off from us all those accoutrements of our society that says we are just like everybody else and we need to look like the people of God. Now, that doesn't mean you can't wear, you know, jewelry. I mean, I don't wear a lot of jewelry. I got a wedding ring, but beyond that, I don't have any. I would take it off to illustrate, but right now my finger's kind of swollen and it's not coming. So I don't know if it's gotten crooked again or what, but it's not coming off. So anyway, you know, some of those things are there, but that's not the point. The point's not that we're, you know, not wearing earrings. That's not the issue. The issue is that we're not looking like the culture, that we look like the people of God. We let the scriptures determine how we live. We don't talk like everybody else. Right now, it's popular to just, you know, use constant curse words and vileness in your speech. That's not how God's people ought to speak. We ought not let corrupt communication come out of our heart. Right now, it's popular to do, you know, to speak very badly. We ought not be like that. We ought to be people who speak the right and people who do the right. We ought to be people who are gracious and kind and compliant and working and serving and doing right. We ought to be different by the way we live. We demonstrate our obedience. Our outside ought to show our spiritual nature. That outside of us ought to show who we are inside. You know, we are in Christ, we are a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away and all things become new. We've been saved. We've been made new. We're a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, unfortunately, that old you is still there too. We need to let that new you shine out. We need to let that Christian you shine out. We need to let the spiritual you shine out. And that fleshly you needs to be put away. We need to put those things away and live and demonstrate obedience unto the Lord. And so normal Christian living is going on for God. No matter what's happened in the past, we keep going for the Lord. Normal Christian living is being compliant with what God tells us to do. And normal Christian living is demonstrating obedience, showing out that we obey by the way that we live. But then lastly, normal Christian obedience is spending time with the Lord. It says here, Moses took the tabernacle. Now, I find that to be an unfortunate translation because it's not saying the tabernacle that was to be built. It's not talking about the whole big tabernacle that was to be built and the children of Israel were to be located in places all the way around it on all the way that it was in the center. That's not what it was talking about. This is talking about a separate tent. Moses set up a tent, and it would have been a better translation to have put it as a tent. And Moses took this tent and he pitched it outside the camp, afar off from the camp, and he called it the tabernacle or the tent of the meeting, the tent of meeting, the place where the people would meet. And so Moses established a tent, and he would go to that tent, and there he would talk to God. There he would pray. There he would meet the Lord. And there at that tent he would meet, and God would show that he was meeting with him by bringing that pillar of cloud down upon them. And so that would come down there, and the people would see that, and they would know that Moses was there. And as they would see that and see the pillar come down, they would, at their own tent, bow down and worship the Lord there at that place. And so this was a place where Moses was spending time with God. Now, certainly we ought to, as Christians, be praying without ceasing. We, as God's people, ought to be walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And certainly these are continual activities, that we are constantly walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, that we are constantly in prayer with the Lord, that we are in everything giving thanks. All of these things ought to be happening in our lives. The problem is that we are people who can really only do one thing at a time. You know, we just can't get a lot of things accomplished all at the same time. Now, I know a lot of us try to get a lot of things accomplished all at the same time, but you end up working on one thing, not the other. You know, there's a lot of people right now who like to think they can drive while they're watching their cell phone. And we all know how well that works out. You know, you see the people swerving and all this. I get hit, almost hit 3 or 4 times a day going home in my massive commute of 2.3 miles and one stoplight because of people who are, you know, in the neighborhood driving along and, watching their phone like this, and they're not paying attention to where they are, and they're weaving and swerving and doing all this. Now, they think they're doing fine by, you know, doing that they're watching, you know, the road and they're not doing that, but you're not. You really need to be focused upon that one thing at a time. And that's just the nature of people. We can only do one thing at a time. And so if you're actually praying and you're thinking on those things and focused on the Lord and you've got your mind upon Christ, you're not focused on driving. You're not focused on your work. You're not focused on somebody who's talking to you. It's just a limitation that we as God's people have. And so, you know, we interpret these things in the way that we have to so that we can do as best we can, that we are constantly in the attitude of prayer, that no matter what circumstance, whenever there's a second, we can pray to the Lord and ask for help, that we are always listening to the Spirit, and so we're practicing God's presence, and we are aware of Him being there, and that we always want to do those things that the Spirit would want. And we understand that. And that's why I think it is important that we also have a place of meeting God. While it's true that we ought to be talking to the Lord constantly, while it's true that we ought to be in fellowship with God constantly, we just simply can't. And so I think it is good to have a special place, a place where you go, a place of meeting. Now, you don't have to get to the extreme of setting a tent up in the backyard. If that's what you need to do, then hey, go for it. But, we need a place where you can get alone with the Lord and where you can talk. You know, the scriptures speak of, go into your closet and having shut your door. Well, if you need to get inside your closet, go ahead. Some people have a rather large closet and they're able to get in there and do those things. Maybe your closet's real tiny and you can't hardly get in there. I don't know. But, whatever the particulars is, there ought to be a place where we can go and daily meet with God. And it needs to be a place that is outside of the normal activities of life. It needs to be a place that is removed from the normal situations. You can't have that place be the kitchen table. Because why? Everybody's always showing up. Now, if you're at home by yourself and, everybody else is at work and school and you're there by your lonesome, well, certainly, yes, the kitchen table works just fine. But if you're there and, there's a bunch of kids running around, or you're there and there's, a bunch of other folks in the house, that's not going to work out so well. You need a place where you can go, where you can get alone with God, where you can meet with God, where God can talk with you and you can talk with Him, where you can meet God, as it were, face to face. Now, I realize Moses was not seeing God's face, but Moses was to God in disposition and God was to Moses in disposition. And they were talking mouth to mouth, as Numbers later explains it, that they were speaking verbally one to another. And so we need to have a time and a place that is outside of the activities of life so that we can meet with God. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not talking to God throughout the rest of the day, but I do think there ought to be a time and a place where we go and can meet God. And that place needs to be respected. If that's the place, that your mate goes and every day at 3 in the afternoon or 6 at night or 5:30 in the morning or whatever it is, they go into the closet to pray. Well, don't make that the time when you've got to go knock on the door and say, "Hey, can you tell me where the bottle of Tide is or something? Where did I leave my pencil?" Just give them that time. Respect that. Don't say, "Let me interrupt them." Give them that time when they can spend with the Lord. Even Jesus came apart. He would go up at night and he would go apart from the disciples and he would pray. He would take time to come apart and be with God, even though I'm sure there was no one who so perfectly and rightly prayed without ceasing and everything gave thanks and always was walking in the Spirit. Yet he would move apart and take time to pray. And if the Lord would do that, and God had the children of Israel doing that, I think it is wise for us to do the same thing. And so give some respect to that. If you see that that is that time, you realize that person's taking the time to pray, well then let them have some peace and quiet there for a little bit. And then our place is one of worship, for this is what the children of Israel did. It was a place where they showed the value of God. And that's really what we're doing. We're setting aside precious time, time where we could be doing other things, to say, "God, you're important, you're valuable, and I am spending time with you." It's a time of fellowship. It's a time when we sense the presence of God and God is there with us. A time of fellowship. It is a time when we develop that relationship with God, when we sense that He is with us and we are with Him and we know Him and He knows us and we talk with Him and we tell Him. It is a time when we are spending speaking to God and telling the Lord all of your problems and all of your difficulties. One of the things that young people want to do today is put everything online. They want to write everything down. That's not good, because a lot of that's going to come back to haunt you. One day somebody is going to be checking on you to find out whether they want to employ you, and they're going to find out that, you griped about this person, complained about that, gossiped on this, and did all these other things. It's not going to sit well for you. But you can always go to the Lord. You can always go to Christ and talk to him. And the Lord will be gracious. He will hear. And he will not only hear, but he will do more than that. He will change you. He will make you into the person you ought to be. And as we come to the Lord and we start griping and complaining, all of a sudden, God puts his finger on us and he begins to convict us through his word and we begin to change. And I know so often this has happened. I've gone to the Lord griping about something and I come away confessing that, Lord, I've been wrong and I've sinned. How God moves in our hearts and changes us as we take that time to come to that tent of meeting, to come to that, as the Wild used to put it, that quiet place. Okay, as we come to that time where we can spend time with God, how important that is. We need to have that. That is part of normal Christian living. You see, the normal Christian is going on for God. The normal Christian listens to what God wants done. The normal Christian is obedient. He is demonstrating, showing it out by his lifestyle, who he is. And that normal Christian wants to spend time with God every day. And so I think this passage teaches us about how we can live that normal Christian life. And I hope that you will do that, that God will find you taking time to be with him every day, that he will see that you are demonstrating by what you do that you love him, that he will feel that you are compliant, not stiff-necked, and that he will see you moving forward in the work of the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're thankful that we could spend some time today in studying your word and just thinking about what you have done. And Lord, we pray that these messages, that these thoughts that you have laid out in the scripture might penetrate into our hearts, that we might be a people, Lord, who truly are living that normal Christian life. Help us to be godly and righteous in all we do. Lord, bless us this week. Give us strength, give us courage, keep us safe. Help us to reach people for Christ. And we pray all this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we thank you for coming tonight, and we thank the Lord that we can be here, and we trust God will give you a great week. Hope to see you back on Wednesday night for prayer service. If you do have any prayer requests, send them in. We'd be happy to pray for them. So just praise the Lord. We hope soon we'll be back. Keep praying for that. And until we can meet again, we'll be looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday. God bless, and have a great rest of the evening.